Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational experience and service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on gold when we come back. You know, a $10 pizza has a 38% tax on it, and a Budweiser six-pack has a 43% tax, and a fifth of Jack Daniels is taxed 72%. Now, governments tax us all, and they tax anything that wiggles, moves, or squirms, but what is it that government does to produce, prepare, or deliver, for which government gets paid 38% for a pizza, 43% for a beer, or 72% for a drink? Does the pizza parlor make a 38% profit on a pizza that they buy the ingredients to make, they prepare it, they cook it, they serve it, and then pay rent on the store that you sit in to eat it? Well, why is it that government then gets paid more in tax than the people who actually produce, prepare, and deliver the goods and services that we all buy? Well, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. I'll be sure to ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it. Remember, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, educational, informative, and best of all, free. Tax and status, the school is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, just go to the website georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Click on to the email and send an email request for your free general law CD package. Do it right now before you forget. And again, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about the International Forecaster. I guess I ought to give you the address for that. It's the International Forecaster, P.O. Box 510-518. That's 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida, 33951-0518. And you have to have that second set of numbers. That's 33951-0518 in order for them to get it. All right, they're also on the webpage. You can give them an email. Published and edited by Bob Chapman. The email address is internationalforecaster@yahoo.com. And the website is www.theinternationalforecaster.com. Spell it all out, theinternationalforecaster.com. Now, I was reading to you last time, we're talking about this thing of gold and gold prices. And Bob thinks that there is a support level at 550, 535, and 500. He talked about panic selling on Tuesday. I came back and I said, well, I'm not a panic seller. I'm a physicals holder. Those of us that are on the physical side of this dual market, we're not in the market to make profit in game. Although, there is that potential, and indeed there is a methodology afoot for making profit and gain in the physical market. Now, typically, people want to buy a gold contract and leverage into it. You put 5% down on a $5,000 contract, which is a couple hundred bucks. Then you got the contract. You hold it for a year, and you either make a profit or you don't, one or the other. But you're guaranteed the gold or the product or whatever it is that you bought the contract for, the physical possession at the end of the year. Now, those that are in paper gold never take physical possession of the gold, don't intend to, and they use gold as a commodity. It's just something like pork bellies to speculate on in a casino. It's something that we want to gamble on. Now, I like to make profit and gain, but I like to make profit and gain in business. And I like to make it without any risk. You know, those of us that are businessmen are not gamblers. Businessmen buy, sell, and trade to make gain, but we don't take risk. Risk is not part of business. Now, if you're in some kind of a risk business, well, then that's gambling. That's not business. Now, gambling's a lot of fun, and I enjoy the crap table, and I like to play a little blackjack once in a while, but you know, you don't win anything, at least I don't, and you don't make any money. It's not business. It's fun. It's recreation, and if you treat it like that, you'll probably be a lot better off. Now, in addition to people asking me, they send me letters and they say, well, why do you recommend gold or recommend silver? And I've been talking about, well, here's why I recommend gold and silver, because of the fundamentals, because of the Bible, because of biblical law, Bible prophecy. Those are some of the reasons, but there's another reason, and it's profit. Actually, it's not profit, it's increase, but you know, most of you people don't deal in increase, you deal in income. So when I say, well, I'm in the business of making increase, you'd say, well, what in the hell is this guy talking about? If I said, I'm not in the profit business, I'm in the property business, you'd say, well, this guy's some kind of a screwball. We're in business for income and profit. This guy's in business for increase and property. Well, the difference is that if you're dealing in income and profit, it's speculation, it's gambling. If you're dealing in property and increase, it's business. And there's no risk of loss, and there's every expectation of gain. Very conservative. And how much do you think you'd make? Well, I think I could double, triple, or quadruple my money. Now, when people buy stocks and bonds, I hear them talking about 5% and 6% and 7% return per year, and boy, they think that's good. Listen, boys and girls, when we do business here, we use the 2% principle. Do you remember what that is? You buy it for a dollar, and you sell it for $2, and you make your profit on that 2% spread between $1 and $2. It's called the 2% spread, or the 2% principle. Now, a fellow by the name of Franklin Sanders, get your pen and paper out here, boys and girls, and sharpen your pencil on both ends, and take down this name and number, because he wrote a book, and in his book he said, why silver will outperform gold 400%, and the guy's exactly right. And that's what I do. And when I saw his article, which was in the December 2003 Money Changer, that's his paper, the Money Changer, I was amazed. Because the guy's exactly right, and that's what I do. And when I did it, I discovered this very same principle, and I'm going to share it with you, and I'm going to share this guy's book, because I'm not going to write a book and tell you how to make money with gold and silver. I don't care if you make money or not. But I don't deal in Federal Reserve notes, but you do, and when you do, you make the price of gold and silver in its relationship to Federal Reserve notes go up and down. See? And when you do that, that's what we call the spread. And when that spread widens out or narrows up, there's profit to be made for people like me, not in dollars, but in ounces of gold or ounces of silver. And that's the way I make my profit, is in ounces, not in dollars. So what I want to do is I want to invest 100 ounces of gold. And then I want a payday when I sell the gold, I want to make 375 ounces of gold in return. How do you like that? And I'm going to show you how to do that. I also know how to buy, sell, and trade with Federal Reserve notes, corporate credit cards. I know how to operate corporations. I used to be a CEO, and I'm very familiar with corporate capacity. I didn't make any money at it to speak of. I didn't get skunked, but I didn't make any money at it, and it was a real hassle dealing with government, and I decided to get the hell out. Now I don't have any government hassles. I don't have the IRS concerned with my business, and I can invest 100 ounces of gold. And then I can invest it over a period of time, and then I can get 375 ounces back, and I'm going to tell you how to do it right now. Got your pencil and paper out here. Take this number down. It's 888-218-9226. Got that? 888-218-9226. It's called The Money Changer. It's a newsletter. It's an economics newsletter, comes out every month. I recommend that you buy it. And there's a second one here. Remember this guy, Bob Chapman? He puts out a newsletter, and I recommend you buy that one, too. And I buy several of them. You may not want to buy several, but those two are top of the line. And that's what keeps you abreast of what's going on in the world and what your government's doing to you. Not for you, but doing to you. All right, now why silver will outperform gold? Now, from my vantage point as a little guy down here at the bottom of the totem pole, I want to store my wealth in something that has a store of value. Now, copper has a store of value, and palladium and platinum and pork bellies and strawberries. But you see, pork bellies and strawberries, they rot. They've got a limited shelf life. Whereas copper, palladium, platinum, gold, silver, you know, those have long shelf lives. Had you invested in copper, say you had $100,000 and you invested that in copper in 2000, you would have quadrupled your money because the price of copper at 80 cents has moved up to $3.20. So you could sell your copper today and you'd get $400,000 in about 5 years. Subtract out 40% for inflation and you still made a tidy profit. Now, I didn't invest in copper. I'm not a copper man. Copper is pretty heavy. I'd have to have lots of tons of it because I like to have physical possession, and copper is pretty heavy. Now, gold and silver have some weight to them, but they're more manageable. Now, why silver will outperform gold is a treatise written by this fellow, Franklin Sanders, who also wrote a book. And if you write to him and you say, now, George Gordon recommended your book, Why Silver Will Outperform Gold 400%, and the professional trading secrets that'll make the most of your silver and gold investments by Franklin Sanders is about 80 pages. And it's a how-to book, and he's exactly correct, and that's what I do, and it's worked for me in the past, and so I can testify from my own personal experience, yep, that's exactly the way that works. That's the way that works. And the other day, I took some gold and I bought some silver. And when the spread, or the ratio between the two, was 60 to 1. Now, I told you the other day that the correct way to price gold and silver is against one another in a bimetallic system that was set up by God at creation. On the sixth day of creation, God finished his job, his work, and he put so much gold and silver into the earth's crust. I don't know how much he put in there because he didn't tell me. But I do know that there's no more coming into existence and there's none of it going out of existence, and so it's all right there. And we've been mining it, and there's a bunch of it, 120,000 tons of gold, which has been mined, and it's out here in circulation to this day. There's some silver out here, too, not quite as much, because we use silver up more than we do gold. Now, let's take a look at Franklin Sanders' story on why silver will outperform gold. Get your pen and paper out here, and let's take some notes as we progress along. And for those of you that write me letters and say, but gold and silver doesn't make any money, which is why we want to buy silver and paper gold and then contracts and leverage, and we want to make profit and gain, and then we can pay taxes on it. What if you just use gold coin, buy silver, and then sell it and make 375 ounces of silver for a 100-ounce investment? You know, I mean, if you could invest let's just take a number over here, 100 ounces of gold you got in a pile, and you convert that to paper, and then you take the paper and you buy the silver, then 100 ounces of gold is equal to about 6,000 ounces of silver. Now, I can't see any difference in storing my wealth in silver, or storing my wealth in gold, or storing my wealth in copper, or storing my wealth in cattle or something else, as long as I've got physical possession of it and own it. If the price goes up, then I gain. If the price goes down, I don't lose because I'm still in physical possession of the cow. I can kill the cow and eat it. I've still got the gold. Now, if I sell it, I might sell it at a loss in paper, but I've still got the tangible commodity. 'Tain't like buying contracts and then having a margin call, and now you got nothing, and then it costs you money on top of it. Margin calls are killers. Now, the argument for silver outperforming gold during the next precious metals bull market boils down to two things: history and volatility. History and volatility. The hidden presupposition is this. One presupposition must undergird any argument. That is, for silver rising faster than gold, and that's namely that both metals profit from currency depreciation, and we're in a currency depreciation environment. We can argue this in either or both of two ways, namely that all hard commodities increase in value during currency depreciations, or that gold and silver move together. So if you take a look at what's going on around you today, you see that prices are going up and the value of the currencies are going down. And it's not just the dollar, it's worldwide. And I'm talking about over the long haul. You know, if you look at 1930 to 2006, the dollar has lost 97% of its purchasing power. I mean, I'm not talking about last week versus this week, or the dollar versus the euro, last month versus this month, or last year versus this year. I'm talking about look at it over the long haul, and that's where it's going. Now, there's a commodity argument here. Dr. Gary North insists that nothing has intrinsic value. Rather, he says things have only a subjective value placed on them by the market. So, okay, let's bypass that vexatious and theoretical question by simply noting that we can be sure that everything has a relative value. And that is, we can rank things by their value and the measure of that value at any given moment in time, and it's called the market price. It's what's the price of tennis shoes today? What's the price of a TV? What's the price of a car? What's the price of an ounce of gold or a pound of strawberries? A fiat currency has no value beyond what confidence the public places in that fiat currency. So as currency depreciates and confidence wanes, the value of fiat money relative to other things declines. So in plain English, the prices of corn, wheat, soybeans, coffee, motor oil, lumber, eggs, pork bellies, feeder cattle, pig iron, or gold and silver will all rise when currency depreciates. And as the currency depreciates, these commodities go up in price relative to that currency. In plain pidgin English, dollar go down, commodity go up. Silver is a thing. Silver is a commodity. Silver is sold on the commodity exchange, just like gold, pork bellies, or anything else. The price of commodities like gold and silver rise when the dollar depreciates. And that's what you're observing now, is a bull market in commodities. And the truth of the matter is, the commodities are not becoming more valuable. The money is becoming less valuable. It isn't that copper is gaining in value, it's that the dollars are losing value. So the dollar is depreciating and will depreciate for some time to come. Therefore, the prices of commodities valued in dollars, including both gold and silver, will rise. That is case number one for silver and gold rising together. Now, silver and gold rise or fall in monetary lockstep, and the case for silver and gold moving together is also supported by their performance from 1950 to 1980. During this precious metals bull market, or you could figure from 1960 to 1980 if you prefer, silver and gold moved together, and I assume that both metals are monetary. So both metals responded to monetary demand caused by inflation. And anybody who disputes this has to produce a better explanation for why these two metals moved together during this period of time. Now, in addition to that, I could show you that silver and gold moved together during inflations and deflations from 1800 to 1870, obviously responding to monetary causes in like fashion. but I forbear to do that on the grounds that silver was officially demonetized in 1873 in both the United States and Europe, so that it operates today in a different environment than does gold. Now, obviously, silver demand altered hugely after that huge segment of demand was politically withdrawn. Discussing the metal's performance in periods of inflation and deflation, Roy Jastram writes, quote, "Silver did not do at all badly until 1890 when it collapsed in its power to exchange against other commodities, and it has been highly, let me turn the page here, erratic ever since. In the 40 years following 1890, that is 1890 to 1930, it lost 76% of its purchasing power, which is cataclysmic for a precious metal. Gold never behaved that way in all of the history of Britain and America. However, Jastram also shows that from 1951 to 1979, silver gained 380% in purchasing power versus gold's 240%. That and Jastram's remarks above underscore silver's greater volatility. It's true that it might work against you, but in the last bull market, it worked for silver investors, and they made great profits. Now, there's also a historical argument. Dr. Gary North ends his denunciation for silver with these words. He said, quote, "If there is a case for silver versus gold, let someone else make it. Well, let him who makes it not invoke 16-1, and also let the argument be based on fundamentals, not the myth of intrinsic value." And that's Dr. Gary North, unquote. So, if fools rush in where angels fear to tread, here rusheth in the fool. But before I lay the history out before you, let's look at something else that you'll need to understand before we make our historical argument, and before the argument makes sense. It's called regression to the mean. All right, now, boys and girls, let me tell you that today, the silver price, well, the number I got as of last Friday is $9.60. And the spot price of gold is $564.30. So let's figure out what the ratio is. Let's just take 564.30 and plug that in and then divide that by $9.60. And the ratio is 58.78:1. 58.71. Now, the mean value for silver and gold is 16-1, and Dr. Gary North said that let's not do that. Boys and girls, I just want to report to you that when we look in the Earth's crust, there is 17 times more silver than there is gold. 17 times. And that's why gold is more valuable than silver, and that's because there's 17 times more silver around. If you want to know why iron ore or steel doesn't sell at the same price as gold, it's because you can make ships that weigh 40,000 tons out of steel. But if you take all the gold that's ever been mined in the history of the world, you could only build three 40,000 ton ships, three Titanics. But, you know, they build ships that are 100,000 tons and 200,000 tons and 500,000 tons. And that's why steel isn't as valuable as gold, because there isn't as much of it. But there's a ratio of value between all of these commodities, depending upon how much work is involved in getting them out of the ground, putting them into useful form. Now, right now, the price of gold and the price of silver has a ratio of about 60-1. The correct ratio is 17-1, and the number used by all traders and analysts is 16-1. They rounded off to 16 rather than 17. So for the purposes of regression to the mean, what that means is the mean average value between these two metals, established by God Almighty Himself, is about 16 to 1. That's where it should be. Now, if you take a look at the old U.S. gold dollars, they're just a little tiny coin, about the size of the U.S. 3-cent piece. I mean, it's smaller than a dime compared to a silver dollar. So if you take a look at that silver dollar, and that silver dollar weighs 1 ounce, and that gold dollar just weighs 1/20th of an ounce, and you look at the two of them, and you can see that that gold dollar is very tiny, and it's worth it as much as that great big silver dollar. All right, so there's this mean average between the two, and that's what he's talking about here, called this regression to the mean. Now listen to the story. One of the bywords of investing is this: everything returns to its 200-day moving average. Now when you think about that, it becomes obvious because of what an average is. Mathematically, it is the sum of all of the readings divided by the number of readings. It's not the reading right in the middle of all the readings or the halfway point. It's called the median average. The average will lie further or nearer from the middle according to how many readings lie above or below it, and how far above or below they lie. Now, you may be a truck driver, and maybe you don't know much about averages, but he's just telling you that when you want to average something out, we have a median average, and then we have an absolute average. And then what we're talking about here is called the 200-day moving average, and everything moves back to that average. And that's true. I mean, mathematically, it just works out that way. Now, the fact is this. Markets do vary often. And they trade back to their averages. So, to bewilder the unlearned, analysts call this regression to the mean, return to the average. The longer you watch, the more likely the market is to return to the mean. The further any market trades away from its mean, and the longer it stays there, the more likely it is to trade back to the mean average. Bearing that in mind, what has been the gold-silver ratio's mean average over the last 200 years? Well, here are the numbers, using the yearly averages. From 1792 to 2003, the mean average between gold and silver has been 31.55. 31.55. 1792 to 2003. All right, now write 1900 to 2003, and the mean average is 46.83. 1900 to 2003, it's 46.83. From 1941 to 2003, it's 48.35. Now, from 1980 to 2003, the mean average was 63.64. Now remember, we just worked this out, and as of last Friday, the average, that is the ratio between the price of gold in dollars and the price of silver in dollars was 58.78. Now, how do we make money investing in gold and silver? I mean, after all, people will tell me, when you buy gold and when you buy silver, it pays you no interest. That's true. It's against the law to charge people interest. And unless the market goes up, you don't make any money. And half the time, it's going down, so you don't make any money. And that's absolutely true. If you take the mean average, you never make money and you never lose money on the value of gold or silver as it moves up and down. And I'm not even advocating that. And so people look at me and they say, well, huh, see, there's no money to be made in gold and silver. And that's not true, children. Not true at all. There's more money to be made in gold and silver just buying and selling it in relationship to dollars than there is in the stock market and the bond markets combined. You can't make as much money in stocks and bonds as you can make in gold and silver just buying and selling as the market moves back and forth, up and down, and reverts to the mean. And I'll show you that. Now, I want to tell you that Franklin Sanders, let me get the name and number down here again. This book used to be $100. And I think that's what it is, $100. And then he had a special on it. And I said, hey, listen, if I tell my listeners about that, he reduced the price to half price, $50. Hell, you know, children, listen to this. If you could buy an ounce of gold for $600 and then take that ounce of gold and trade it for 60 ounces of silver, and then trade the silver back for 4 ounces of gold at some later date, would you call that a profit? Well, it's a 400% or a 4 times profit. Then if you could trade that 4 ounces of gold for silver, and then trade that silver back for the gold and make 4 times, that would take you up to 16 ounces of silver. Now, you started with 1, went to 4, then you went from 4 and went to 16. Now, what if you could take the 16 ounces of silver and invest that in silver, or the, you know, 16 ounces of gold, and trade that for silver, and then trade that back for gold and go for 4 times 16 or 48. Now, you go from 1 to 48. That's 4,800% profit. If you could do that 3 times in 100 years, would you say that that was a profitable adventure? Nobody ever made that in stocks and bonds. Well, I suppose a few insiders probably did that. I guess I shouldn't say that, but it certainly isn't the average. Now, that's what he's advocating here. But it gets better than that. Because if you invested the gold into the silver, could you invest the silver and buy back the gold? And does that mean then that you could make, you could double, triple, quadruple your money, not 3 times, but 6 times? And the answer is, yeah, you'll do it 6 times on average. In the 20th century, the gold-silver ratio returned to the mean average of 16 to 1, 3 times in 100 years. Which means that if you did that 3 times, you would multiply that times 6. So we would go from 1 times 4 is 4, times 4 is 16, times 4 is 64. So we go 1, 4, 16, 64, 256, 1,024. Now, if you could take 1 ounce and move it from 1 ounce to 1,024 ounces in 100 years, do you think that's a profitable adventure? I think it is. And that was done 3 times in the 20th century. It was done in 1919, 1967, and 1980. And we're on the verge of it happening one more time. And every time you do that, you'll multiply times 4. Now, the truth of the matter is, from 60 to 16 isn't 4, it's only 3.75. Now, I don't know if Franklin Sanders exaggerated when he said why silver will outperform gold by 400%, because in my experience, it isn't 400%, it's only 375%. I didn't make 400%, I only made 375%. So I'm not here to tell you that you'll make 400, but if the averages or if the mean is correct, you would. But I haven't seen that. Now, I got to give you a reminder here while we're talking about this thing of gold and silver. So let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Now, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement, and the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The law, our website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. For your listening convenience, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. And remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one. It's here at the law school waiting for you. Just call us at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967, and ask for yours. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. However, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate and endorse and recommend the Law Hour and the Editorial Review. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily 100% endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. And keep in mind that the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct, 417-273-4967. Now, if you could move 1 ounce of gold and invest it for 100 years and then get a return of 1,000 ounces of gold back, would you say that that was pretty profitable? Well, listen, yeah, that's true. That is pretty profitable. But that's not the most profitable enterprise that God ever created. The most profitable enterprise ever created by the mind of God was agriculture. If you were to take one kernel of corn and put it in a hole in the ground, it would yield 87,200% return in one calendar year. 87,200% in one calendar year. Now, to move 1 ounce up to 1,000 times takes 100 years. Takes 100 years. Now, that's not too bad. It's probably as good, maybe a little better than banking and insurance, which are probably the biggest and the most profitable theft enterprises ever created by the mind of man. God is no slouch when it comes to making increase. He's pretty crafty. So when he told us to use gold and silver and told us to use just weights and balances, he wasn't whistling Dixie through a straw hat. And Franklin Sanders discovered how to do that. And I don't know if he got it from the Bible or not. I did, but I just wanted to share with you his book. So remember to take this number down, this telephone number for the Money Changer. The Money Changer now is the newsletter. And I recommend that you get a subscription to it. But get the number now. It's 888-218-9226. Again, that's area code 888-218-9226. Now, what you want is his book, Why Silver Will Outperform Gold 400%. And my experience was it was only 375%. But, you know, it's in the ballpark. It's in the ballpark. And he's probably smarter than I am. And he can probably get 400%, but I could only get 375%. This regression to the mean. However, markets don't just return quietly to their mean. Rather, they swing like a pendulum, sometimes violently. And often, they go far past the mean average. Thus, even though the mean from 1900 to 2003 is 46.83, the gold-silver ratio three times in the 20th century returned not only to that mean, but it shot way past the mean all the way to 16 to 1 in 1919, 1967, and 1980. And I'm only talking about these three mean averages because, you know, there's the compounding effect. Compounding. This is just simple. It's not compounded. If you were to do this on a regular basis and use the compounding effect, it would be much more than 1,024. I don't know how much it would be. But I know it would be at least 3, 4, or 5 times as much over a period of 100 years because the doubling period can be shortened from once every 33 years to about once every 5 or 6 years. So, this guy Sanders now, he's no slouch. You know, for a hard money guy. And he puts out a pretty interesting newsletter, and he writes pretty interesting books, and he's a real contrarian. And all the gold guys think he's nuts. You know, like guys like Gary North. Now, Gary North is no slouch either. He's a pretty knowledgeable guy. And he thinks that Sanders is stupid. And I'm here to tell you Sanders ain't stupid because that's what I do and I physically make it. And it comes right out of the Bible. It came right from God himself. God is the one that designed this process. God's the one that put this 16 to 1 ratio in the Earth's crust. I mean, you know, think about it. If he'd wanted to, he could have put just as much gold in the Earth's crust as he did silver, or he could have put 1/16th as much silver as he did gold, and the two would have equal value, and there would be no profit to make off of these two metals. None. Zero. Zilch. But because of this spread of 16 to 1, there are god-awful profits. And I use the word profit for you people that are investing in paper. And for those of us that use metal, it's called increase. And we don't pay tax on increase. We pay tax on profit. We pay income tax on profit. We do not pay income tax on property. Now, don't you think that it's odd? I mean, that every single time it overshot, it separated by 50 years or 13 years and went back to 16 to 1 and it stopped every single time. 16 to 1. Don't you think that's kind of odd? How do you explain that? Is it ancestral memory? Does silver and gold have memory? Coincidence? Just happen. Well, I only observe that it has happened repeatedly, and therefore it may happen again. One thing for sure, it's no myth, but it's an observed fact. That I can't explain it with a theory, it makes it a mystery, not a myth. I can't explain why women love men, but, you know, thank God that they do. Now let's talk about statistical probability. Another way to consider regression to the mean is statistically. And that is a mathematician named, I can't pronounce this guy's name, I think he's probably a foreigner, T-E-H-E-B-Y-C-H-E-F-F. I don't know if that's T-K-B-Y-C-H-E-F. Discovered that when a set of readings is normally distributed, graphed by a bell-shaped curve, 68.3% of all the readings would fall with one standard deviation of the mean plus or minus. A standard deviation measures the variability of the data. 95.45% of the data will fall within two standard deviations of the mean, plus or minus, and 99.73% of all the data falls within three standard deviations, plus or minus. So how can we use this information to trade silver? Well, two standard deviations on either side of the mean ought to tell us the bounds that would hold 95.45% of the readings. It's highly unlikely, not impossible, that very many readings will fall outside that limit. For silver, the two standard deviation bands either side of the deviation mean look like this. From 1792 to 2003, the highest ratio between silver and gold was 73.94, and the lowest was 10.85. Now, from 1900 to 2003, it rose to a high of 88.49 and a low of 5.17. From 41 to 2003, it hit a high of 90.56 and a low of 6.14. And in 1980 to 2003, it hit a high of 99.42 and a low of 27.87. Now, if you're driving truck down the road, and you're saying, oh my God, this is way over my head. Okay, hang on, partner. I'm an old-timey truck driver. And if I had to get involved with all those numbers over there, it would be way over my head, too. Because I'm not too smart either. I'm a high school dropout, just like you are. But hey, wait a minute. We don't have to be all that smart. We just have to be smart enough to know that there's a variation in the value of gold and silver as it relates to $100 bills. And that's caused by people out in the marketplace who are buying silver and buying gold every day. Now, for instance, in 1980, the price of gold was $800 an ounce. And the price of silver hit $50 an ounce. Okay? Well, in 1940, the ratio had moved to 100 to 1. So that means that the price of silver and the price of gold had a ratio of 100 to 1 rather than 16 to 1. So what that means is that we wanted to buy lots of silver in 1940 and hold it to 1980, which would have been 40 years. And then, in that 40-year period, we would have sold that, and we would have made four times the amount of our money. Now, watch how this works. Let's suppose you got 100 ounces of gold. And this gold is worth $600 an ounce. That's $60,000 in Federal Reserve note dollars. So here's what you do, partner. When the ratio of gold and silver hits 60 to 1, which is about where it is now, 58.78, that's close enough to 60 to 1. You take the 100 ounces of gold into your gold broker, you put it on the counter, and you say, hey, Charlie, come on over here. I want to trade this 100 ounces of gold, and I want to buy 6,000 ounces of silver, because silver is $10 and gold is $600. That's got a ratio, a spread of 60 to 1. Can you all see that? Write it down. Put gold here. Put 100 ounces at $600 equals $60,000. And then put silver right under gold. 100 ounces at $10 equals $1,000 worth of silver. 100 ounces of silver is worth $1,000, and 100 ounces of gold is worth $60,000. That's a 60 to 1 spread. All right. Now, we're going to convert our gold where we store our wealth. This is our life savings, and we've got it stored in gold. Now, we're not going to speculate. We're not going to give this money to anybody else. We're going to change the method by which we are holding our wealth. And instead of holding our wealth in gold, we're going to hold our wealth in silver. It'd be about the same if you said, well, I'm going to sell all my Holstein cows and I'm going to trade them for Charolais cows. Okay, well, you're still holding cows. You're just holding your wealth in a different form of cow, different breed of cow. And you're still holding it. Never give this to somebody else. Don't give the 100 ounces of gold to somebody else in his warehouse and then take a receipt and then expect him to pay you, because he'll steal from you. You want to keep physical possession. All right. So you take 100 ounces of gold, which is 6,000 ounces of silver. Now, 6,000 ounces of silver at 16 to 1 would be $37.50. Now, gold and silver are going to move higher over time, just like they did from 1960 to 1980 in that bull market. And at some point in time, they're going to reach 16 to 1, just like they did in 1980. See, when they started out in 1960, they weren't 16 to 1. They were Well, let's take a look here at the average here from 1941 to 2003. They were at about 50 to 1. Round numbers, 50 to 1. So what we're going to do is we're going to buy in at 60 to 1. We're just going to convert from gold to silver. And then we're going to hold it until it reaches 16 to 1. And then we're going to trade the 6,000 ounces of silver for gold. And do you know what we're going to get at 16 to 1? That means we're going to get 1 ounce of gold back for every 16 ounces of silver. That's all we're going to do. So at some time in the future, we're going to, when the price of silver reaches $37.50 against $600 gold, it could reach, if gold went to $1,000 an ounce, then the silver might be $62.50 an ounce. If the gold goes to $2,000 an ounce, then the price of silver would be at $125 an ounce. If the price of gold goes to $3,000 an ounce and silver goes to $187.50, or if the price of gold goes from $600 down to $300 and the price of silver goes from $10 to $5, as soon as it goes to 16 to 1, we're going to trade it in. I don't care if it goes up or it goes down. We're not involved in dollar value. We're involved in ounces. How many more ounces are we going to get? And when that ratio, when that spread, when that mean average that Mr. Sanders is talking about comes back into equilibrium, which it always does, and that's because that's how much silver and that's how much gold there is in the Earth's crust. Now, the reason that this mean average is constantly varying, it goes from 100 to 1 down to as low as, and what did he say the low was? At one time, between 1900 and 2003, it went down to 5.17. That was as low as it ever got. And as high as it ever got was 101.1 to 1. And the reason that that spread comes in here is because of paper money. Paper money. And I'm going to profit off of all of these guys that deal in paper money. They buy high and they sell low. And I come in and I don't buy high or low. I don't buy high or low. It doesn't make any difference whether the price of gold is $300 and silver is $5 or the price of gold is $3,000 and the price of silver is $187.50. I don't care. I don't care if it goes up in value or goes down in value in its relationship to dollars. All I'm concerned about is what's the spread. And I want to buy it at the highest possible spread when I trade my gold for silver. And I want to trade my silver for gold at the lowest possible spread. That's all you got to know. And Sanders has got this 80-page book and goes through the details. But I just want to run over the high spots for you. Now watch this. It took me about 1 hour. 1 hour from the time I walked in with 100 ounces of gold and put it on the counter until I walked out with 6,000 ounces of silver. It took me 1 hour to make that transaction. And I converted my savings from 100 ounces of gold to 6,000 ounces of silver. Now, I'm going to hang on to the silver. When the ratio hits 16, I'm going to take the 6,000 ounces of silver in and put it on the counter. I'm going to put it on the counter. And then I'm going to say, now give me gold. And I think it'll take me just about 1 hour to convert the silver. Once, you know, let's say we run it through the machine and they count it out and say, well, yeah, you do in fact have 6,000 ounces. And now the price of gold in relationship to silver is going to be 16 to 1. So I'm going to get an ounce of gold for every 16 ounces. Remember the story on the oil that we told yesterday? See, in 1933, you could put an ounce of gold on the counter and walk out of there with 23 barrels of oil. Today, if you put an ounce of gold on the counter, you can only walk out with 7 barrels of oil. 7 barrels of oil. 8 barrels today. 7 barrels last year. That's the spread. That's what paper money does to you. You buy high and you sell low. That's why you're not making good money. So I'll put my 6,000 ounces on the counter, and I'll walk out of there with 375 ounces of gold. 375 ounces. Then I'll wait for the spread to move from 16 to 1 to 60 to 1 again. And it will. It did it. It did it three times in the 20th century. It not only moved from 100, moved from 16 up to 60, it moved from 16 up to 100. You'll make even more if you buy in at 100 to 1. All right, so then I'll do that six times in 100 years, and I'll make 1,024 ounces of gold. And that's what it'll boil down to. So if I start with 100, it'll be 102,400. That'd be 102,400 ounces. So I'm going to start with 100, and I'm going to go to 102,000 ounces in 100 years. Now, if you had done that in the 20th century, those three times at the end of 100 years, hey, boys and girls, you don't have to do it three times. You can do it six times. And furthermore, you don't have to wait until it goes all the way to 16 to 1. You can go from 60 to 40 and cash out, and then you can go from 40 to 60 and cash out, and you can go from 60 to 40 and cash out, and go from 40 to 60 and cash out, and then you can take that and you can pyramid it, because it has geometric progression. It grows by 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. And that's in Franklin Sanders' book on why silver will outperform gold by 400%, and the professional trading secrets that'll make most of your silver and gold investments, by Franklin Sanders. The only guy that I've ever run into, and I've been in this for 21 years. Well, let's see if I'm 21. I started in 83, 93, 103. Not 23 years now. 23 years in gold and silver. That's the only guy that I ever run into that figured out that you could make money by trading silver for gold and gold for silver and do better than the stock and bond markets combined. And you people write me letters and you tell me, that's because you heard that on Lou Dobbs, or you heard that on CNN, or you heard that on some newsletter, or you heard that from Gary North. You know, gold and silver doesn't produce any profit. Well, hell, if I was running Bank of America, I'd tell you that too. Because I want you to delve into paper money. I want you to deal in unjust weights and balances because I make profit off of you. Yeah, I'd lie to you. Sure. Now, I'm not making any money off of telling you this over the air. And I just told you that that's the numerical sequence, and that's the history of it for the 20th century. Will it do that in the 21st century? I don't know. I'm not a prophet. But it did it in the 17th century, the 18th century, and the 19th century, and I don't see any reason why it won't do it again in the 21st century. And you're already in the bull market, and the spread is about 60 to 1. Now's the time to make your move. Hey, I'm about out of time again. God, things just, you know, time flies when you're having fun. Can't think of a better place to have fun than making money. So let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.